2 years ago in 2019, a few months before the pandemic struck and changed our lives forever, or what seems like forever, we were up in a town in the mountains of Madrid, and we were staying there for a long weekend. And it was October 31st and dusk, and the village was teeming with activity, but not the kind of activity you'd expect from a small Spanish town. The streets were full of groups of kids wearing costumes and going to houses and stores and shouting truco trato, which is sort of a rough translation of trick or treat. There were pumpkins with candles lit here and there. The children laughed and screamed with delight. The parents sort of gathered at corners and watched for oncoming traffic as they waited for their little goblins to finish their rounds. It all looked so familiar, you'd think that they'd been doing this for years. It was basically just perfect. But was it? If you ask any kid under 12, they'll tell you it was. They love Halloween, and for some very good reasons. You get to dress up in a costume, go out in the street, and pretend you're a monster or a witch or a ghost or something like that, and then you get a bag full of free candy to boot. What's there not to like about that? It doesn't matter where you're from. And for young families, young parents, it is a great way to break up the monotony of your ordinary weekend. Now, if you ask other Spaniards, especially those from a certain age onward, they'll tell you that something was off. It was way off. And they'd say it was downright blasphemous, an insult to Spanish culture. They might say something like, that's not what the Spanish do at this time of year. We have our own customs. Here, it's all about All Saints Day. They're taking away our traditions. I hear this all the time, every year, and I have to admit they have a point, but only to a point. Was it true? Is Halloween a recent intruder from the other side of the Atlantic, or has it been around for longer? Or let me pose this question in a different way. Was this thing about spirits and the dead as foreign as they made it out to be? Was there a history of this celebration or something similar in Spain? Well, to begin with, even though most Spaniards think Halloween is an American tradition and for this reason suspect by nature, the fact is its origins go back a couple of thousand years and probably got started in the old continent, that is Europe, mostly Celtic Europe, essentially Spain's backyard. Now, it's important to remember that the history of Halloween is very complex, so much so that I don't really want to get too involved with it right here. What interests us here is that part of its initial idea appears to have come from the old Celtic belief that this time of year was basically their new year, so to speak. It was pronounced Samhain, but spelled in a way that you'd never guess. In fact, it's sort of a weird spelling for English speakers like me, and you know, English has a lot of strange spellings. It's S-A-M-H-A-I-N, pronounced Samhain. Go figure. Anyway, according to experts, Samhain sort of translates as summer's end or the end of the season, indicating that we were at a point of inflection in the year. And it was during this sort of New Year season that the locals believed was a time when the worlds of the dead and the living blended, and that people had to take special care when going out, and they did so by dressing up and pretending that they were sort of members of the undead, so to speak. The long and winding road from the Celtic New Year's to the festivity that we celebrate today, this current version, has required centuries of modifications. Samhain as a Celtic tradition continued throughout the centuries. In the 9th century, I think it was around 840 or 843, it was fused with All Saints Day, which is where we get the name Halloween or All Hallows Eve. In fact, I think that word is Scottish in origin. Many of the customs that we have today related to Halloween were slowly incorporated. Each one has its own story to tell, and a fascinating one too. But we won't stop to talk about them now. Suffice it to say that they survived in one form or another all the way up until the 19th century when Irish and Scottish immigrants made their way to the United States and settled there. As is typical of any ethnic group, when living abroad, there's sort of a strong desire to hold on to one's traditions, and in their case, Halloween was one of them. And this would mark a major turning point for this festivity, because from there it would evolve from an obscure curiosity from a superstitious culture to a night of pranks, violence, and vandalism, and then eventually to the festivity that we know today, a massive kid-friendly and adult-attractive model, starting mainly after World War II. And eventually, as we've seen, it would become popular in Spain. But it didn't catch on immediately, and I can personally vouch for this. I remember trying to find a pumpkin in the early 90s, and it was nearly impossible. The best I could do the first time was find this huge, sort of flattish, oblong thing. On top of that, it was gray, not orange. It was so big, the guy from the store had to cart it out from the back. And I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? The poor thing was so ugly that it, in the end, it was sort of kind of perfect for the mood for Halloween. I have fond memories of that first pumpkin. And even 20 years ago, let's say like the turn of the century, around 2000, 2005, in my neighborhood, for example, basically the only one celebrating Halloween was me and my kids. And even the trick-or-treating required preparation by going to the neighbors, explaining the purpose and the procedure, and supplying them with the candy to give to the kids. Many of those neighbors at the time were old enough to remember the Spanish Civil War, and yet they were surprisingly open to the idea. I think they just enjoyed having fun with the children, and they had a good time too. As an English teacher, I will also take partial blame for introducing this cultural tidbit to students who, when they learned about it, thought it was basically the greatest thing they had ever heard about. I'm not sure if we changed society, but we did manage to ruffle some feathers. Members of the clergy would get very grumpy, and in many of the parochial schools, and there are a lot of parochial schools in Spain, the celebration was banned as a pagan custom from afar that was contaminating Spanish tradition and the children's mind. I am not making this up. I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears. But our influence was anecdotal compared to what the internet and access to global information would do just a few years later. I'd say around 2010, Halloween sort of kind of burst on the scene. Suddenly, everyone was getting in on the action. Families were having their own parties. There were major trick-or-treating events. Bars and restaurants saw they could make a killing on it. Supermarkets were promoting candy. The five and dime stores stocked their shelves to the hilt with everything spooky and gory. So I think it's safe to say that, yes, Halloween is a kind of new arrival and in certain ways has little to do with Spain and Spanish culture. But to nix it as a phony foreign import might be a little bit unfair and going a little bit too far. There were and are traditions here that recall something similar, so let me tell you about some of them because they might surprise you. Some of you may not know this, but part of Spain has a Celtic tradition. It's mainly in Galicia, but also includes parts of Asturias, León, Zamora, and even northern Portugal, sort of that northwest quadrant of the Iberian Peninsula. And plenty of people from those parts will tell you that festivities like Samhain, known as Samhain in Spain, have been around for as long as anyone can remember. Going all the way back to the early days of the Celts, people say that they would put candles inside the skulls of their defeated foes, and they would display them around their fortresses, known as castros, to protect the people from the spirits. There are documents throughout the centuries that sometimes mention this day. I came across one from the 16th century describing the tradition of young people, rich and poor, going around the town asking for treats from the different homes. In the English-speaking world, this precursor of trick-or-treating was popular at the same time, and it went by the name soling or guising. Now, just how widespread this practice was is hard to say, but based on documents and first-person experiences I've come across, this was fairly common, well into the early part of the 20th century, but then it began to fade, possibly impacted negatively by the Franco regime that often frowned upon local traditions. Still, elderly people will tell you that they also liked to scare others at night when they were kids at this time of year, and that they would make little lanterns out of vegetables, especially turnips. And that's an interesting thing because in Scotland, that's the very vegetable that they used to use before the immigrants went to America and discovered the pumpkin and somehow said, now that's what we're looking for. And it seems that by the early 1980s, traditions like Samhain had almost disappeared. And I can personally vouch for this. I was in a small town in Galicia in 1997 or so, and at that time showed them a pumpkin and started to tell them about Halloween, and the young people there looked at it as a kind of oddity. They didn't really know what it was all about. But then the older generations would say they recognized it, and they said, yeah, they do things like that in certain parts of Galicia. So it was sort of interesting. Depending on how old you were, you knew about it or you didn't. And ironically, the rising popularity of Halloween has triggered a kind of revival of the old Samhain festivity. And in Galicia, many towns reference it only as that, Samhain. You have your bonfires, your costumes, your pumpkins, all that, but not a mention of Halloween. This region has an age-old relationship with the paranormal. The witches there are famous, they're called magas. There is a legend about a ghostly procession that would wander through the woods known as the Santa Campaña. In fact, the whole north of Spain is full of legends and traditions of this kind. Some villages, for example, in the region of Asturias, put candles and food outside to help the souls find their way at night. Another popular tradition at this time, especially in rural Spain, is called Magosto, or the Castañeda, which is a harvest-related annual event associated mainly with the chestnut. In fact, for many years, this custom was probably more famous than Samhain. Magosto is celebrated normally in the first 2 weeks of November, especially around November 11th. People roast chestnuts, eat and share all kinds of other nuts too, and dried fruit like raisins and figs. It is a lovely tradition, but at first glance seems to be totally unrelated. But that's not the case. Apparently the purchasing and eating of the chestnuts was an act done to benefit the souls, especially those in purgatory. It's still celebrated in many parts. Orense, for example, in Galicia is particularly well known for this tradition. On the northern coast of Lugo, they even string up necklaces of chestnuts called zonchos, and each chestnut represents a soul that has been saved. In the mountains of Sanabria in Zamora, they celebrate their own version called Amaguesto with bonfires and chestnuts. The tradition is also said to go back to the days of the Celts. And in parts of Asturias, the local towns had their own version of the chestnut celebration. Once again, eating these things helped free the souls of the deceased. And lanterns were also left outside to ward off spirits. Does this sound familiar to anyone? So that part of Spain is an area where many of these traditions still survive, but they're not the only places. In fact, if you go as far away as the Canary Islands, some towns there still celebrate what they call the Día de los Finados, the Day of the Deceased. They've been doing it for centuries. Groups of people go around the town singing songs, reciting poems, and paying homage to their deceased relatives in exchange for food and drink. Traditionally, neighbors from a town used to sit around the eldest woman in the community who would recount stories from the past. Children would go to the house and shout, "Do you have any saints?" And the people inside would give them chestnuts, raisins, and cakes. In the province of Zaragoza, sort of in the northeastern part of Spain, there is a town called Trasmoz, which happens to be the only town in Spain which is still officially excommunicated by the church. It's been that way since the Middle Ages, and right now I think they're sort of proud of it. They celebrate a kind of night of witches. In Catalonia, also in the northeastern part of Spain, they have their own version of the chestnut festival known as the Castañeda. And the list goes on. So it seems that pagan traditions from certain parts of this country have been around for quite a long time, and that there is a relationship between the dead and the living and the souls. But it is important to remember that Spain is a Catholic country and has a very old Catholic tradition. This is where All Saints Day, November 1st, and All Souls Day, November 2nd, become important for our purposes. Probably the most common tradition is for families to go to the cemetery and make the tombs of their loved ones all spiffy clean. Then after that, they lay flowers. For florists, this is the biggest day of the year in terms of sales. It even outperforms Valentine's Day. In some places, I think they used to have picnics, but I think that custom seems to have pretty much disappeared. and unfortunately going to the cemetery with younger generations, especially those living in the big cities, is not as common as it used to be, but in the towns and villages you will still see it happening. If going to the cemetery and paying tribute to your family sounds familiar, it's probably because the Mexican version, known as Dia de los Muertos, or de los Difuntos, or Day of the Dead, has, with the help of the popular movie Coco, brought worldwide attention to this practice. While the Spanish tradition is nothing remotely as festive as the Mexican version, the basic similarity of the idea is evident. The idea of being with and among the dead as if they were still living. Though some argue that the Day of the Dead tradition is 100% Mexican in origin, those people tend to be 100% Mexican in origin themselves, and it is highly unlikely it is completely unrelated to All Saints Day and All Souls Day. Remember, in the history of the church, these were two of the most important feasts of them all in the year, for basically the same reasons that I've been mentioning throughout this podcast. Souls were thought to be languishing in purgatory and in need of the prayers from the living to pass on to eternal peace in heaven. It was taken very seriously, and in the 16th century, the Spanish would certainly have shared it with the locals in their attempts to evangelize the native population. In the last few decades, the Day of the Dead has rebounded and reached many parts of the world, including Europe, and sort of following the same pattern and journey that Halloween has. All Saints Day in Spain also has its share of sweet treats. It's not M&Ms or those sugar-packed candy corns. In Spain, they have a thing called huesos del santo, saint's bones, or buñuelos, which are sort of these fritter balls, sort of like profiteroles, I guess, with different fillings. Both are outstanding. The huesos first appeared in the 18th century. They are marzipan-based, sort of a tube shape, that looks like a bone, and sometimes have a different flavors inside, as if they were the bone marrow. Buñuelos, known somewhere in the English-speaking world as nun's farts. I'm not really concerned about the bizarre name, as I am about the person who actually thought that one up, are one of the best pastries around. They are stuffed with different fillings. Years ago, it used to be just a couple of basic ones like whipped cream or chocolate, but now they have a dozen different ones, and they're really, really good. So I recommend you go and search them out. So there you have it, a bit of history about special days celebrated in Spain at this time of year, customs and traditions that some Spaniards themselves don't even know existed in their country. But they do exist, and from them, we know that there is a relationship. I can feel for those people who have reservations about Halloween. I really do. It's logical. In fact, to tell you the truth, I have them myself, almost for the same reasons. I sometimes feel that some people just don't understand how special it was to grow up with Halloween. My memory of Halloween from my youth, more than the candy or the customs, was the atmosphere at night as you went trick-or-treating with the darkness, the pumpkins in the distance, the houses, the trees without the leaves. In one word, I would describe it as magical, simply magical. And that's something that's hard to capture here. Maybe you had to have grown up in New England to understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, these thoughts usually throw my debate opponents off. When they complain to me, I reply by saying, yeah, you're right, I agree 100%. It is our tradition, and it shouldn't be here. But the fact is, Halloween is here, and it continues to be popular. Anyway, this is what we've learned. First of all, Halloween is not American, though we admit that the American version has heavily influenced the world. We've also seen that Spain does have its share of both pagan and Christian customs associated with this day or around this time, and that some of them go back a very long time. You have Samhain, Magosto, Castañeda, Dia de los Finados, to name just a few. And we've also seen that there is a very old relationship at this time of year between the living and the dead. In fact, you could say that all of them are members of the Autumn Dead Festivities clan, and that Halloween is just sort of that cheesy, loud, and obnoxious cousin that you can only take so much of at a family reunion before you say to yourself, I think I need a drink. Will that cousin be leaving in a couple of hours, or does he have a suitcase in the trunk that says he'll be staying here for a while? Only time will tell. And that'll be all for today's podcast from Brian Spain Domain. Please tell us about a tradition that you know in a part of Spain related to this topic in the comments below. We'd love to hear about them. Stay well, stay safe, especially safe, and we'll see you soon. Hasta pronto.